Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3, it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But in verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Isn't it wonderful to realize that there's an inheritance for us in heaven? The first inheritance is the fact that we are saved, that we're born again by the blood of Christ. And because of that, we have eternal life. Even today, we have eternal life. We're already living that life. But we're laying up treasure in heaven, and that treasure in heaven will be given to us. We will inherit that when we live throughout eternity. So right now, we have the privilege of serving God each day. And as we serve faithfully, we continue to lay up that treasure, and we will have rewards in heaven after we pass into His presence. What a great privilege we have. After all, our salvation is undeserved. God the Son did all the work on the cross. He bore our sins, and because of that, our sins are forgiven. We've been given life, and life more abundantly. We have His righteousness indwelling us, and as we serve Him faithfully, He rewards us for that work. What a great privilege, what a great blessing. What a great God we serve.
Cheeks and bid and
tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus.
Have you sins that men's eyes are hidden?
Tell it to Jesus alone.
Are you troubled at the thought of dying?
Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus.
For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing?
Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Why don't you
tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus.
Jesus.
Hello and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, our hearts are thrilled by what God has done at the Kemia Center, another outreach mission trip to screen and treat people for leprosy, Yaw's disease, and Borrelia ulcer is happening as we speak. The mud tires you helped buy last year are on the Kemia Center Land Cruiser, keeping it on the road and not stuck in the mud. Through your prayers and compassion, God is reaching down and touching people, convinced that God has forgotten them. God bless you, and may He multiply His grace in your heart and life as you continue to share with an open heart and hand. Two for one, that's always what the advertising says, but God does it all of His own free will and much more.
A special thanks go out to everyone who jumped on the motorcycling opportunity to supervise the people treated for leprosy in the Enyel district rather than brought to the Kemia Center. Jesus loves small numbers to accomplish His purposes and show His honor and glory. Among the 18 in treatment at the Kemia Center, 15 are preparing to be baptized. What does that mean? They are beginning to learn about God and the wonderful gift of Jesus, who brings life and healing to their hearts, minds, and bodies. Join us in prayer that they will become salt and light in their communities, demonstrating in word and deed that they have been healed in body and in spirit. The chains of Satan have been broken and they are free. Thanks so much for being a vital part of this life-giving ministry. Will you please pray for open doors and open hearts in all of the matters that are before us? We truly appreciate your partnership. Let's keep working together, praying and giving to see lives saved for His honor and glory. Praise God that a little in the hand of God is much, just like one kernel of corn, then produces lots of corn cobs loaded with new kernels. Our God is great. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice with the angels in heaven. Therese has given her heart to Jesus and has gained hope. Hallelujah. Thanks for your continuing prayers for her. Love and prayers, Sarah in the Congo.
As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of the Canada National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to carry these stories in your hearts. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we are offering the booklet called Worry, The Joy Stealer by June Hunt, some people might say. Don't worry about it. Too often, this is easier said than done. For some, worrying comes as naturally as breathing and is easy to dismiss as a byproduct of concern. I worry about you because I care about you. Whether it's about passing a test, a loved one's safety, or personal pressures, the weight of the what-ifs leaves us weary and steals our joy. June Hunt is the founder and CSO of Hope for the Heart, a Christian ministry which she founded in 1986. Hunt is the author of the Biblical Counseling Library, a 100-volume collection of biblical counseling manuals. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, postal code 140231.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is entitled, There, I Went and Did It Again. This is the 11th part in a series about Abraham. Printed copies are available upon request.
Sometime in our life, and probably more than we wanted, we have had unexpected guests come to our homes. Things were not any different in the Bible times either. As we come to chapter 18 of the book of Genesis, we find one of these incidents in the life of Abraham. It was a hot day in the Middle East, and during the warmest part of the day, the patriarch was seated at the door of his tent, trying to take advantage of some shade. As he looked up, he suddenly saw three male strangers coming toward him. At this point, he did not even have a clue as to who they were, where they were from, or how they got there. He ran to meet them and actually bowed down before them. He must have realized there was something very special, or at least something different about them. Almost immediately, his Middle Eastern hospitality took over. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." It seems as though by this point Abraham recognized with at least one of these visitors there were divine implications. He knew that something from the Lord was going on. I wonder what our reaction would be if we had an unexpected visit from the Lord himself. Would our actions be different? But if we're believers, we should recognize that the Lord through the Holy Spirit dwells within us at all times, knowing what we're doing, saying, or thinking. There's no way we can hide from God, for he even knows the very intents of our hearts. In our daily walk with the Lord, do we behave fully as his servants and give him what he is due? After this meeting, Abraham jumped into action. He called for water to be brought to wash the feet of his visitors. Then he sat them under a tree in the shade. He rushed into the tent and told Sarah to quickly gather the ingredients to bake some cakes. Furthermore, he ran to the herd, picked out a calf, and brought it to a young servant to slaughter it and make them a dinner of veal. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat, according to Genesis 18:8. Now, either during the meal or afterwards, we find that the first of two purposes for which these men had come. The first was to reassure and confirm a promise previously made by the Lord that Sarah would bear a son in her old age named Isaac. Back in chapter 17, when her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah, Abraham was told, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." One of the purposes of their coming was to assure them of this promise of the Lord and define it even more clearly. First, they asked for Sarah, who was listening from inside the tent. Being old, Sarah laughed to herself, wondering how this could be possible at her age. It was then that we know for certain that one of the three male visitors was the Lord himself. He knew that Sarah had laughed and asked the leading question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." The Lord knew that Sarah had laughed, even though she denied it. Following this, the second purpose for the three men coming, the two angels and the Lord had come, begins to unfold. They had come to deal with Sodom, the surrounding cities in the plain of that area. As they got up, they looked toward this city and started going to it. Abraham joined them for at least a portion of their journey. Then the Lord asked, "If he should hide anything from Abraham, because from him a great and mighty nation would arise, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed by him." Hidden in this statement, there is something even more important to consider that we will examine in a moment. Then the Lord dropped a bomb on the patriarch. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Then the two men who were angels went toward Sodom. But the Lord stood by Abraham. The patriarch sensed that the Lord was going to destroy the city from the discussion that took place in the verses following. Before we develop them, I would like to go back to a bit of unfinished business. God had previously said that he would bless all nations through Abraham. Now we have before us a wicked city. Their sin is called grievous here, and in other places it is called an abomination before God. This is as bad as it gets. Could God bless this nation through Abraham, as he had promised? The answer is a resounding no. God could not bless an entire people that committed abominable things before him. There was only one alternative for the Lord, and that was to destroy these people so that they could not be blessed in Abraham. And that is just what is going to happen. May I pause for a moment and make an application here? When a nation turns its back upon God, and sin becomes so rampant in it, then God has no choice but to remove it. If you know anything about history, you will certainly know that nation after nation and kingdom after kingdom have fallen because of their sinful behavior. We desperately need to pray for our nations that we might so live that the hand of God's judgment does not fall on us as well. Could we wind up as the nations that are only found on the dusty pages of history books, or even like Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham thought of another serious problem. If the Lord was going to destroy this city, his nephew Lot was living there. He was the one that sat in the gate, which means that he'd become a judge, for that was where they sat to decide on cases. Perhaps he was trying to put down some of the abominable sins being committed there. All we know about him is found in 2 Peter 2:6-9, where we read, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Though Lot had been influenced by the sin that surrounded him, he is still considered to have a righteous soul. There's a great lesson we should learn from this for our lives today. Lot had lived near Sodom, then in Sodom, and finally had gotten into a position of leadership there, which certainly did not do him or his family any good. We should certainly take heed today that we do not become involved in any sinful areas that surround us, for they will only drag our testimony and life down. We're in the world, but not part of it. The old patriarch was troubled, so being a friend of God, he asked the Lord a question. "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Realizing his own family could die in the destruction about to come upon the city, he would ask if he would destroy the city if there were 50 righteous people there. The Lord granted Abraham's request that if there were 50 righteous people there, he would not destroy the city, but would spare everyone for the sake of those that were righteous. Then Abraham realized that there were probably not many there. So he began to bargain with the Lord. 45? 40? 30? 20? Or even 10? The Lord promised he would spare that wicked city if there were even 10 righteous people living there. What a great challenge for our lives. I believe that even here in the 21st century, God would be willing to spare a nation for the sake of even a small group of those who are really trusting in him and walking in close fellowship with him. That brings out the point that a few of us in any wicked people or nation could cause the Lord to spare all for the sake of his people. Oh, how we need to be so careful of how we are living. Living for the Lord at any given moment. It is not God's desire to pour out his wrath, but he must satisfy his righteousness and justice. Sadly, there were not even 10 righteous in that wicked city, but God would still deliver the righteous. Then the angels said unto Lot, "We will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it," found in chapter 19, verse 13 of Genesis. Lot went out and pleaded with the young man espoused to his daughters. And in that culture, already considered married, even though they were not yet living together, to leave. They thought he was joking and would not go. Even Lot lingered, and the angels had to physically remove him, his wife, and his two daughters. That city had gotten such a grip on them. Another great lesson for us to learn: never let the world get a grip on us so that we do not want to leave it behind. Look at what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. We should always be looking ahead and upward if we would really honor the Lord. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. As Abraham arose in the morning, he looked toward Sodom and only saw smoke. The city was gone. But once again, God delivered the righteous Lot and his family before judgment fell. What a beautiful picture of what the Lord will do when he takes us home before he pours out his judgment upon the earth. I trust you'll be in that number who have trusted Christ as your Savior, rather than being left behind to face his awful wrath upon this earth.
I trust that this message was encouraging to you and that the Lord spoke to you through the Word of God. We're concerned at Kansas National Bible Hour that every person who listens to this broadcast is a believer in Jesus Christ. The scriptures are clear. In Romans 3:23, it tells us that all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know in Romans 6:23 that it says that the wages or the payment for that sin is death, that spiritual death, that separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that took our place. He's the one that bore our sins in his own body. And he's the one that when you put faith in him, your sins are forgiven and you have a relationship with the God of the universe. What a great blessing.
Remember, this month we are offering the booklet called Worry, the Joy Stealer, written by June Hunt. Don't worry too often. This is easier said than done. For some, worrying comes as natural as breathing and is easy to dismiss as a byproduct of concern. People say, "I worry about you because I care about you," whether it's about passing a test, a loved one's safety, or personal pressures. The weight of the what-ifs leave us weary and steal our joy. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, postal code 14231,